Okay, so tonight we are discussing the halachos of the bracha of borei pri hagafen, and how wine, in many cases, will exempt other drinks from a bracha. So that phenomenon we've actually learned about already, just we've learned about it in terms of solids, not liquids. We've learned about bread and hamotzi. We had two shiurim about hamotzi and the uniqueness of the bracha of hamotzi, and tonight we're going to see many parallels between how we treat wine in halacha and how we treat bread in halacha. So let's begin from the Mishnah at the beginning of Ketzin Mevarchin, source number one. Ketzin Mevarchin ala peiros, al peiros ha'ilan hu omer bori priyaitz. So the Mishnah says that we make on fruits, we say a bori priyaitz, chutz min ayayin, except for wine, sha'al ayayin hu omer bori priyagofen. Because on wine we say the bracha of bori priyagofen. So already our antennae are signaling, because when the Mishnah mentions an exception to a rule, we always have to ask, why is there an exception? Right? Why is it that wine doesn't have the bracha of borei pri ha'etz? After all, wine is really just a reformed product of the tree, of the vine. So why is it then that it has its own bracha? And really, At first glance, we could suggest one of two perspectives. You could take what I would call a more quantitative approach, which is that wine is very, very important. It's very significant. It plays a major role in our life, let's say. And therefore, it deserves its own bracha. We'll see certain indications like that. Another possibility for those coming in, we have Marmakomas on the Bima. Another possibility, a second perspective, would be a more qualitative approach, which is that because of, or more precisely, what the significance of wine reflects is that wine is not just your ordinary drink. Wine is really the what you could call the staple of the liquid diet. The same way that bread is considered like the meal food, wine is considered the meal drink. And since it's the meal drink, so any bracha that you make on a meal drink will cover all the drinks that you have in that meal. That's going to be a perspective we suggest. There's only one other bracha, but there are many other drinks, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's only exempting one bracha is not so pertinent, right? The fact that it's exempting the bracha is the significance. The fact that it's only one other bracha is just really a technicality. Okay, so I'm just raising from the outset, whenever you see something like this in this Mishnah, where you have an exception to a rule, you want to have a buzzer going off, asking yourself, well, what accounts for that exception? It's not just random, it's not happenstance, there has to be some svara to it. So let's get to the Gemara, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and the Gemara itself asks the question. The Gemara is sensitive to the Mishnah's exception, and it says, Maishna Yayin, what's different about wine that it warrants its own bracha? That we say borei pri hagafen on wine, whereas on all other drinks we say shahakol, and on all other fruits we say ha'itz. Why is it that wine gets its own bracha? So there's a lengthy shakla v'tarya there that goes back and forth, but essentially what the shakla v'tarya ends up concluding is as follows. Elachamra is beitarte. Wine has two special qualities. One is sa'id, it satiates a person. The second is umisameach. It makes a person rejoice. It causes a person joy. Nahama misad soid semuche lo misameach. Bread satiates a person, but it doesn't cause the same degree of joy that wine does. Now the Gemara has a staggering havamina, and it says like this: Ihachi, if this is the case, nivrich alei shalosh brachos. If wine really satiates just like bread, then just as we bench for bread, maybe the bracha achrona on wine should be benching. Should be birkas hamazon. So the Gemara says, lo kave inish inche sudasahu ilave. So people do not establish their meals on wine. So that's why it doesn't. That's why we don't have benching. But again, the havamina that you would bench on wine is like omer darsheni. Right? That, how do we explain such a thing? Is it really just because it satiates? Or does the fact that it satiates reflect something more about its status? And you see where I'm going with, if it's the meal drink, then maybe you could think that, oh, you know what, maybe I should bench on wine.
That's with anything, though. Any drink. So you bloat it.
So the satiation that we're talking about, it's hard to define, but the idea is that other drinks quench thirst, whereas wine provides actual sevia, satisfaction. It's hard to better define those words. That's the assumption. But the question's well taken. Okay? All right. So now, in order to demonstrate my point about why it is, what's the lumdus in why wine gets its own bracha, so take a look at the following machlokas. Tosos in source number 3 quotes Rabbi Hanano, who says that if a person knows that he mistakenly said borei priya eats on wine, you have a very nice bottle of wine, you know, you bring it out. I'm not the connoisseur who could even tell you what that nice bottle of wine is, but okay, you bring it out, you make a borei priya eats. Uh-oh, supposed to say borei priya gofen. So the Rabbeinu Hanano says, if you remember that you said the wrong bracha within the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, so then you can just say Borei Priya Gafen instead of. But if you forget that amount of time, what's the implication? If you say Borei Priya Eats and then a minute later you remember, oh wait a minute, did I say Borei Priya Eats on a bottle of wine? What do you have to do, according to this Rabbeinu Hanano? Can you keep drinking the wine, or do you have to say Borei Priya Gafen? Look inside. What do you think? He says that in the case where you realized immediately, so then you can change it. The implication is that you have to change it. Meaning the only reason why you can do so, but you could, that's because you realized right away. But if you realize a minute later, what would you have to do? You have to say the full bracha. So what emerges from Rabbeinu Hananel is that if you say borei priya eats on wine, no good. Even though wine comes from a tree, even though it comes from the vine, it comes from the grapes. Nonetheless, it's no good. Magen Avram, source number 4, disagrees. Magen Avram says, bid the eved after the fact. If you say borei priya eats on wine, you're yotze. Now you shouldn't have done that, but you're yotze bid the eved. Yeah, obviously.
So is this doing a kiddush or?
Anytime.
So
you sit down for a nice romantic dinner, you take out the red wine. Ah, borei priya eats.
So let me ask you a bomb kasher.
Okay? Let's go, bomb kasher. Let's go.
So if you, a lot of people like to drink wine with the meal or whatever. So if you wash, does washing date the wine, or is that two separate things? Wine and washing separate, or like does washing cover wine also?
Washing, you mean saying hamotzi?
Yeah.
Does hamotzi cover wine?
Yeah.
Oh, good, gevaldik. So you were mechavin to a point in the Gemara, and we're going to get to it soon, okay? But I want to demonstrate, so you're like one step ahead of us. I want to demonstrate my point about the nature of the bracha of borei priya gofen, and then maybe that will help explain what the halacha is in your case, okay? So let's get back on track. Uri, we have a machlokes. If I say borei priya eats on wine, am I yotzei b'dieved or not? Rabbeinu Hananel says no. Magen Avram says yes. Mishnah Berurah, source number 6, says yash deos bein aposkim. There's a disagreement. We say safik brachos lahakel, so you don't repeat. But what's the nekudas hamachlokas? What's the root of the debate? Why does one opinion say that if you say borei priya eats, it's good enough, and the other opinion says no, you have to say borei priya gof? What do you think is the machlokas over here? What are they arguing about? So what do you want to say? Flesh it out for me.
Rabbi Hananel says it doesn't count because wine is chashivus, and you have to say.
So everybody agrees, though, that wine has chashivus and gets its own bracha, right? Everybody agrees that lechatchila gets its own bracha. What we're arguing about is even bidyet, yeah?
Is it considered like a completely different?
Oh, so beautiful, Shlomo. Awesome. Okay, so what Shlomo tells us is like this. What they're arguing about is what's the relationship between borei priya gofen and borei priya eats. Or in other words, when we say that wine gets its own bracha. Again, remember what I said at the beginning in the Mishnah? Is this like a quantitative distinction or a qualitative distinction? Right? Is it like wine is really important, so therefore it gets a special bracha? Or is it that wine is just a totally different entity, and therefore it gets its own bracha? So if you take the more quantitative approach, so yeah, lechatchila, you should honor the thing that's very significant with its own bracha. That's what Tani had in mind, right? But b'di'eved, you would say, okay, but it's still a product of the vine, right? So we could say Bori Pira eats. That's the svara for the Magen Avraham. Why would Rabbeinu Hananel say, no, I'm not Yotze, even when I say Bori Pira eats? It's true. It's not false. It's true, Bori Pira eats. So why am I not Yotze? So I'm not Yotze, says Shlomo, because once we have Bori Pira Goffin on wine, that transcends the fruit of the tree. We're now dealing with a totally different entity, and the bracha of Bori Pri Agafen is now its own category, right? It's something totally separate and distinct from fruit. And perhaps the reason why, again, is what I'm insinuating over here. Perhaps the reason why is because Bori Pri Agafen is the parallel to Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz for bread. We quoted the Ra'ah back a couple shiurim ago, that Hamotzi may be the bracha on the meal. So I'm arguing that maybe Bori Pri Agafen is also like a bracha on the meal, just instead of for food, it's for drinks. And that's why it's a totally different category. So you can't just replace it with Bori Pri Eitz.
Ah. I don't want to necessarily go on a tangent.
Yeah.
Could you say the same thing about fruit and drinks in general? Like if you have an orange, so is Shahakol, is that the new bracha? Or is it also that if you made a Bori Pri Eitz on orange juice?
Yeah. So you're making a good point. So what I would respond to that is that in Ochinami, in certain cases, you'll need a different bracha, but that's usually going to be a function of the change in form, mm-hmm. right? Not the change in like category, mm-hmm. right? Meaning like what I'm arguing is that we treat wine differently from just other drinks. Mm-hmm. Not that it, whereas orange juice is just something different than an orange, mm-hmm. but not that we treat it as a fundamentally different
so
category of food.
It's a product, it's something in its own.
Right? Exactly. Okay.
This all right. Be the same if someone made a shahakol instead of a hagafen, which if I was going to make a mistake on the bracha, I don't think I'd be making an eitz. I think I'd be making a shahakol.
Right. So this is not to, right. This case is not to lamaisa. I don't think right. many people are going to say very pure eitz, but I'm using it to demonstrate my point more. But in Ochinami, it's much more relevant that a person would say shahakol. Shahakol would count because shahakol counts for everything.
Okay.
But that's more of a din in shahakol, that it's a catch-all bracha. If you say it, you're yotze, right? Yeah. Whereas Bori Pri Eitz versus Bori Pri Agafen, Bori Pri Eitz doesn't have that same quality as shahakol. That it's okay. All right. So now let's get to Avi's case. Avi's been waiting. So source number 7. Okay. So the Gemara says that hamotzi bread exempts all other foods that come on account of the meal. That's what we've been discussing for the past few weeks. And then the Gemara, second line over there, Avi, source number 7, Ihachi yayin nami niftere pas. Maybe then we should say that bread also exempts wine, right? Why not? Wine is part of the meal, yeah? Shaini yayin degorim bracha liatzma. Very key line in our sugya. Shaini yayin degorim bracha liatzma. Wine is different because it causes its own bracha. What does that mean? The Gorin Bracha Liatzma. What does it mean that it causes its own bracha? So, Avi, the simple answer to your question is no. Hamotzi doesn't cover wine. You still need to make the Bori Pri Agafen on the wine. The question is why? Yeah? And the Gemara says that the answer is because it's Gorin Bracha Liatzma, but we don't really understand what that means. So we're relying
shahakol
on the Rishonim.
Shahakol products, that word.
Yes. So there's actually machlokas rishonim, actually, whether drinks in general are covered by ahamotzi. We paskin that they are. Okay? And actually, let's take a look at, we'll actually come across that in a second in Tosos. Yeah, Uri.
Jabez, if you're making kiddush, I actually heard two things.
Would that kiddush cover?
Or you're that mind, you're making kiddush if you're going to have one.
Gishmak. Okay, so if you look at section number 4, I have that all here for you. So we're going to get there soon. Upcoming attractions. Okay? All right. So we're gonna build one step at a time. So what is Gorin Bracha Liatzmo? Says Rashi something very interesting. Source number 8. The Gorin Bracha Liatzmo, Bechama mukomos huba umivarchin alav v'af api shalo hayu tzrichim l'shiyasa. Rashi says that in a number of contexts, we use wine and make a bracha on it, even though we're not interested in drinking it. What would be an example?
Bris Mila.
Wedding.
Exactly. In many cases of mitzvos, we make Havdalah, we make a Bori Pri Agafen, even though nobody wants to drink, right? Last time at Avi's Bris, I made a Bori Pri Agafen. The mall had to remind me to drink it. I don't want to drink it, right? But we make the Bori Pri Agafen anyway. So Rashi says,
it's
go.
It's like a ceremony thing that you're not making the kid.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, like, so why is that? Why, so what does that reflect about wine? The Gorim Bracha Liatzma. What does that reflect about wine? There's a certain sense of chashivus that it adds.
It's not like a Birkas Aden, it's more of a Birkas HaMitzvah almost.
So in that context, we are juxtaposing a mitzvah with a Birkas Aden. Yeah, your point is a good one. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says actually that when you have Kiddush together, I mean, when you have Bori Priya Gofen together with the mitzvah, such as Kiddush, it actually in some contexts or in some ways takes on the status of a Birkas HaMitzvah. For example, for Yatza Motzi, that's how the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talks about it, that even somebody who's already had Kiddush, right, and doesn't need to, he can still make the bracha and drink on your behalf, right? So you're making a good point, but it still remains a Birkas HaNenin. The question is just, like, why do we pick Bori Priya Gofen? Why do we pick the wine for this purpose? Okay, so we'll leave that as a question for
what
now.
What should be the other option?
I'm saying these are dinim derabanan. We could have come up with anything, right? But derabanan chose wine as the item to use in order to uplift, to elevate the mitzvah.
Could it say because misameach?
Maybe.
Two elements we said before.
Right, we said soyed and misameach. So we're saying you want to bring about simchas hamitzvah.
All these are misameach, not
all of these, the wedding, the bris milah.
Yeah, you're barely having any.
Right, right. We also do attach it to, let's say, I mean, maybe that connects more to soyed. We like to using a kos on birkas hamazon, right? Like we learned in Dirshu a couple weeks ago. Wouldn't be a shir without a dirshu shout out. Yeah.
Why wine? Like, why did they pick specifically wine?
Yeah, that's my question.
Is it Shevaminim? Oh, is there one like
a... Well, but there are others of the Shevaminim, right? So Rabbi Donath is suggesting wine has a particular quality in that it's misameach. We could say it even more, you could say it even more broadly, right? This is just a signal or a simin of wine's chashivus, right? We're trying to add something chashuv to this event. Trying to show that we take the mitzvah very significantly. So we're going to make a Bori Priya Gofen as like the context for the mitzvah. But that itself is I think, very telling. Now, Tosos interprets it differently from Rashi. Tosos quotes Rashi, and then they quote the Rashmi Shantz, V'Rashba. That's the Rashmi Shantz, not the Spanish Rashba, but the Balia Tosos Rashba, the Rashmi Shantz. So he, V'Rashba Pirish, this is on the end of the second line. Mishum tzarich levarich al hayayin bori priya gofen. Ah, you know it's goring bracha liatzmo? Because of the Mishnah that we started off this year. Because you don't say a bori priya eats on wine. You say a bori priya gofen. It deserves its own bracha. It justifies, it warrants its own bracha. That's what it means, goring bracha liatzmo. Uvetchila keshu ba'anavim bori priya eats. V'yashar mashkin sh'akon yebidvaro. So wine is just like a completely different category. So what you see from the Rashmi Shantz, Gorim Bracha Liatzmo, is that the fact that wine has a different bracha, that's the reason why Hamotzi doesn't cover it, Avi. At the end of the day, that's why when you have wine in the context of a meal, you have to say a Bori Priya Gofen. Because it needs its own bracha. Because you don't say Bori Priya eats on wine. So to me, what that suggests is that, again, like what I've been arguing, is that Hamotzi will cover the meal for food, right? It's the bracha on the food of the meal. But that's not going to cover the drinks of the meal. And that's why wine gets its own bracha, Bori Priya Gofen. That's what that reflects. So therefore, Hamotzi is not going to cover wine. You with me? Huh?
Just wine.
Just wine. Only wine. Right.
Just because of the Gemara? That we picked wine because of what the Mishnah says.
So the Gemara Lamed Hei Amud Beis, source number 2, that's where the Gemara explains why wine is different. The Gemara says, Maishna Yain, what's different about wine? And it says wine has two qualities that don't apply to other things. Number one, it's soid, right. It satiates, and second is misameach.
Okay, is that true? I mean, is that true?
It brings proof text from Yain Isamach Levav Enosh, okay. Right? Or... Yeah, so it brings proof text that where the psukim speak about wine in like an exceptional manner. Yeah. Okay, so halacha lamaisa.
Eventually, you're going to talk about kiddush later, right?
Yeah.
People get confused by wine when they make kiddush. They assume they have to make brachos on the food.
It's the reflexive effect.
Ah, right. Like if they make a kiddush on wine, but they don't have.
You have to make a mezonah still on the...
Right, meaning, oh, you're saying like I had a Shabbos morning kiddush. Right, avada, right.
It's the reverse.
Right, because you like you think of it more like hamotzi, but you're not making the distinction between foods and drinks. Ah.
So they don't have to have your mind when they say kiddush here. You didn't have to have your mind for kiddush.
That's you're supposed to eat mezonos.
So that, I think, we say have in mind because in that case, there's separate from drinking the wine, you also need to be yotzei in the mitzvah of kiddush. Right? So the person being mekadesh should have in mind everybody who's being yotzei in the mitzvah of kiddush. That's what you have to have in mind. Yeah.
So it's not just for us.
What?
So is it a problem to make kiddush on something that's not wine?
So that's a separate discussion about Chamar Medina. Yeah, no, it's not so nogea to our topic today. Really, the practice to make kiddush on something that's not wine is based on Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina is like a substitute for wine, and it's a controversial issue. Yeah, it's not pasha. People do it. It's not pasha.
That's interesting. No, but that actually,
yes.
So Sarah, my wife, is allergic to sulfites, so she can't have the wine. So under the chuppah, should she have grape juice or should we do the wine? And Rabban, he said that you should fake it. Like, you know, she used the wine.
Yeah.
I should drink. She should like look like she's drinking, but she shouldn't drink.
Because she doesn't really need to drink them.
And we did grape juice, that I said.
Really? Okay. So I actually, Uri, you've been mechaving to two things. Because in section number three, I have a discussion about grape juice. We gotta go a little faster, but I'm having too much fun. Okay, so halacha lamaisa, source number 10, Avi, this was your shayla. So if you have wine during a meal, the hamotzi does not cover it. And the Mishnah Berurah over there explains why that is. And it's exactly what we've explained so far, that since wine is chashuv, it's very significant, you can't consider it tafel to the bread. Fine. So far what we've explored is the status of wine and why it justifies its own bracha. What's different about it? Is it merely like the added, you know, like heightened significance of the drink? Or is it that this is a meal item? This is representative or paradigmatic of the meal. So let's now apply this lamdus to the second section, which is the halacha that wine covers other drinks. We mentioned this in one of the other shiurim, and a bunch of people were like taken aback. So I figured it would be a good topic to cover. So the Gemara Brachos Memalef and Mebeis quotes Rabbi Chiya, who says that Yayin is poter kol minei mashkim. Wine exempts all other drinks. If you make a bor priya gofen, you don't have to make a shahakol on other drinks. Now, in what case are we dealing with over there? So take a look at Tosos, source number 13, page number 2. Quotes the Ri and Rabbi Nutam, who say that when you have other drinks, you have soda that comes out during the meal, you don't make a shakal on that. V'tayma depas poteras kol advarim habayim b'shvila, because all the other drinks are considered to come on account of the bread. V'hashta yayin poter kol minei mashkin lefi she'ikr mashkehu v'hu rosh l'chol minei mashkin. So Toso says that the reason why wine exempts other drinks is because it is the main drink. It's considered the most primary drink. Ulekach hu ha'ikar v'hein tefelun lo. Remember when we learned about hamotzi and bread, we said that like since bread is the main food, it's the staple of our diet, you could consider all other foods secondary to the bread. So Tosos is saying something very similar about wine. He's saying since wine is the staple of the liquid diet, which was actually true, bimei chazal, these are well-known things, people say it all the time, right? That people used to drink wine as their main drink. So that's considered the primary drink. Everything else is considered tafel too. It's considered secondary to it. Now the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said in Kuf Ayin Dalet, source number 14, Yayin poter kol minei mashkin, afilu mibracha rishona, says the Rama. So if you drink wine, that exempts everything else from a bracha rishona. So afilu mibracha rishona, and so too if you make a borei, if you make an ala gefen, that's going to cover other drinks as well. You wouldn't have to say you're bringing a fashos. Okay? Now, take a look. How are we doing on, you know what? Okay, we'll skip that Emek Bracha for now. It's hard to skip Tani's relative, but okay, we're going to do it. Okay, it's going to get a little too complicated. All right, fine. So let's skip now to source number 18. Skip to source number 18. The Mordechai says something very interesting because he places a limitation on this halacha. And this is very important in understanding the halacha lemaisa. So the Mordechai writes, "Aval hicha de'ina mashkin lefanav b'sha'a shebiri chalayayin." What if you make Kiddush? Okay, so you're making Kiddush, and you don't have any other drinks at the table at that time. V'hutzrach levarich al hamashkin. So says the Mordechai. In that case, the wine, the bori priagafen, would not exempt the other drinks. Or hashta bizman azel leka keva lishtos yayin. Nowadays, people don't recline and have like a whole gathering to drink wine. V'lo shayach be'lameimar haseba lishtos. We can't talk about reclining to drink, and therefore v'lo potar mashkin aboim la'achareim levarich lifneim v'uadin demivarich la'achareim. Says the Mordechai, a huge limitation on this halacha. He says that if you don't have a kvius, you're not like all coming together around the table, geschmack, reclining in your whatever, and you have a nice bottle of wine, and everybody's enjoying and continuing to drink for an extended period of time. So that's the case where saying a bori priagofen would cover some other drink that you bring out during that time. But stam, you're sitting at a table, you make kiddush, that's not a kvius on wine. That's not a kvius. So therefore, says the Mordechai, that bori priagofen would not cover other drinks. Now, Tosfos seems to disagree. The Noda Behuda reads Tosfos as disagreeing and saying that no, wine is the rosh lechum mine mashkin. Wine is the primary drink. So as long as you have a decent amount of wine, we'll get to that in a second about how much wine you have to have, but as long as you have wine, I don't care what context it comes in, I don't care whether it's the reclining or whether it's just kiddush, it's definitely going to cover the other brachos.
Is kiddush, when we do kiddush, is it the kiddush that you'll see, is it the wine? So a lot of times during the daytime,
both. If you say bori, yes.
But during the daytime, a lot of times we make wine a schnapp, you know, we make kiddush a schnapps.
Then that's not going to cover wine, right? Because that's a shahakol. You have to have a bori priagofen.
So it has to be. So it's really.
It's not the kiddush. It's not the. Meaning, it happens to be that kiddush on Shabbos day is itself just the bori priagofen. Yeah. Like there's nothing more to it. But no, it's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah of kiddush that gets you out of the other brachos. It's dafka this halacha of bori priagofen. Right? We're learning in Hilchos Brachos, not Hilchos Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, before we get to the halacha lemaisa, what's the machlokas between the Mordechai and the Baaliat Tosfos? So I think, again, it relates back to our chakira. According to the Baaliat Tosfos, the reason why wine exempts other drinks is because of Tani Svar, that wine is choshuv. Wine is like the primary drink, so everything else is considered tofel to it. So as long as you have a decent amount of wine, then you could say that everything else is tofel to it. I don't care about the context. But for the Mordechai, why would I need a kvius? Because I'm treating it like a meal, right? If I treat the wine as the meal drink by being koveya suda on the wine, so then fine. Then I could say that the bori priagofen covers all the other drinks. But just stam having a sip, having a malo logmov, having a revius and kiddush, that's not using the wine for my meal. I think that's the Mordechai svar over here. I think that's the machlokas relates back to the lamdas about why bori priagofen covers the other drinks. So halacha lemaisa, what are we going to say? This is very relevant. What happens every Shabbos morning? You make a bori priagofen. So take a look at Mishnah Berurah number 19. Kol mine mashkin ubilvaj yulefanav al hashulchan b'shas shabirei chalayayin. So he says, first of all, that bori priagofen covers other drinks as long as you have them on the table when you say bori priagofen. V'yesh mekilin afilu lo hayulefanav rak shayadaito aleim. There are those who are lenient and say that as long as you had them in mind, then you would not have to make a separate bracha on them. And then he goes on and quotes the other machlokas, just to, for purposes of time, take a look at the chart. Okay, so I quoted for you four different opinions of how this works, of when bori priagofen covers other drinks. So in the Sefer Nishmas Adam paskins like the Mordechai, and he requires both of the Mordechai's conditions. So that means that you need to have the kvius, you need to be reclining, and the drinks, the other drinks, the soda, the seltzer, the chule, they all need to be out in front of you when you say bori priagofen. Lamaisa, that's not going to happen nowadays. So according to Nishmas Adam, bori priagofen is virtually never going to cover other drinks. However, most of the Achronim, and this is the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to inclined to say, the Magen Avraham, Eli Rabbah, they say that either or. Either you're reclining. Now, that's not Solomaisa.
What does it mean reclining?
Like
hanging out?
The way they used to eat was everybody would have like his own table and have a shtickle couch, and it was much more geschmack than we have now. Right? So,
when you're sitting for a regular meal, is that considered reclining?
No. That's like the Mordechai says over here, Hashta bizman azeh leka keva lishtos yayin. We don't have such a thing, says the Mordechai. We don't have this type of kvius.
So how does the Mordechai
I don't know.
So how does the Mordechai even bring down the kveh if you don't even have it?
Right, so he's saying that back bizman chazal, that worked. But now the halach is different. That's what he's saying. Okay? But the in the third box, this is relevant. So what if the drinks are in front of you? So then the Mishnah Berurah paskins that would be sufficient. So let's say Kiddush, okay? Let's say the 8:15 minion has a Kiddush and all the drinks are out, okay? Or for them, it's the same thing at the 9 o'clock Kiddush. Both Kiddushes in the shul, all the drinks are out, yeah? So when you make a Borei Priya Gofen, you're having in mind mistama. You don't even have to explicitly have it in mind. The Bir Halacha says that the presumption is that you have in mind that when you're yotze with Borei Priya Gofen, that's covering all the other drinks. So when Rabbi Donath makes Kiddush in the social hall and he says Borei Priya Gofen, mistama he has in mind. So if he wants to have soda, he's good to go. He doesn't have to make another shahak. Because hayu lefanav. Huh?
The rest of us?
Oh, the rest of us. So, the Mishnah Berurah points out. The Mishnah Berurah points out in the third paragraph. I'll get back to you in a second, Avi. I'm sorry. So, So take a look at this, Yaakov. Vida shem kiddush alayayin v'hotzi achirim bivrachaso. So Rabbi Donath makes kiddush. He's motzi everybody else with the bracha. Im lo ta'amu mikosh al kiddush. The other people, everybody else, doesn't have any of the wine or grape juice. V'rotzim lishto sharei mashkin, and they do want to have some of the iced tea. So af shahayu lifneim b'sha shabirei chalayayin, even though the whole drink table was set up and it was all there during Kiddush, tzrichim levarei chalamashkin. They do have to make a shahak. Because the din that Borei Priya Gofen exempts the other drinks is only when you actually have the wine. You can't just be yotze with the brach. You have to have the connection to the wine itself.
I started pouring for the kids. If they'll pour for the adults now.
That's what he's asking. Absolutely, yeah. Yes, 100%. Unless you had the grape juice yourself, so then you should make a shahako. Yes. So
what if isn't a lot of people I know growing up? You always ate mizonos. To be part of the yotz of the kiddush, you're supposed to eat some
for kiddush makom suda. Yeah.
So, but still, you have to make shahako. In that case, you mean...
Correct. That the mizonos doesn't affect. Now, but what about, let's say you're making kiddush at your own table. So you are drinking some of the, yeah. Right? But at your own table, so you might not have brought out all the other drinks at the time that you're making kiddush. Ooh, so now this is a bigger shayla. Because according to the Magen Avraham, you would still have to make a shahakol when you have the drink during the meal. Because it wasn't in front of you when you made the kiddush. However, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, as long as you had in mind the other drinks, that would be sufficient.
Can it be drinks? Does that have to be specific drinks?
I think you could say, I think you'd have in mind any drink that's going to be brought to the table.
Could they make the same argument if you're making hot mozi, but the rest of the food is not on the table yet? It's for sure in mind. You have in mind to you're having a meal, whatever is brought out.
No? Right, I hear you. Meaning, like there's like an assumption that, like, presumably, you have in mind that you're going to you want other drinks.
Also, for the guests, they don't know what's coming, right?
So I think what they say for guests is that their presumed das is anything that the host is going to bring them. Yeah. So then the main din over here, or the main shiloh over here, would be how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? Right? Do we hold of that Shulchan Aruch Harav or not? Mishnah Berurah brings it as a v'yesh mekilin afil lo hayu lefanav rak shal yadaitu aleihem. He says lechatchila tov yoser laolam shushar mashkin lefanav beis berchaso alayayin. It's best to have the other drinks out, but lemaisa, that's not really what people do. So probably if you have the others in mind, they'll probably say safik brachos lahakel, not to say the shahakol at the Shabbos meal.
Would you think it's better to put out the seltzers?
Kiddush. My mother grew up, we didn't put out the other food until.
Right. I think Rav Soloveitchik has something about like Dafka not having the other food out, but maybe the drinks there wouldn't be a problem. Because I think he says not to have the other food out because the Kiddush is supposed to be like the framework for the meal, right? Something like that. So maybe that wouldn't apply to drinks. Mishnah Berurah clearly says here it's best to have the drinks out, but nobody really does that from my experience.
Yeah. And it's like dips.
The dips, yeah.
It must be the same thing, no?
You said Dafka too have the dips out before.
Not before. With that, like, people, they wash and then bring the dips out. That might be a thing to spend, though.
White dips. Why specifically dips? Saying that to have that out.
So maybe that was until that's a dime. That's it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I mean, we have to clarify, but I would think that we would say Safik Brachos Lahaka will be here. That's what I would think.
I see people articulate, like, I have you in mind, I have one in mind. You have to do that number one, and if yes, you have to do that for drinks, like having all the drinks in mind.
Right. So for, let's say, for like a mitzvah d'oraisa, I think like we often, like, you know, when we blow shofar in shul, we tell them to tell the Baal Tokeiah to have everyone in mind.
We always say Patriots people.
But when you're making Kiddush, there are some people who have like a kpeda like that, but the Stam Das is that if everybody's at the table, so of course the person who's making Kiddush has in mind that to be motzi the other person around the table. But for Bor Priya Gofen, again, let's remember, it's only going to help the guests if they also drink from the grape juice or the wine.
Is that usually the case?
What? Yeah, in Okinami, right. But I'm just pointing out that this would only be relevant for that.
Everyone does, like, if you can't drink wine, then can't drink.
Yeah. Another halacha that I thought was interesting, Rabbi Kivi Eger in source number 21 writes that if you have the wine for a birkas hamitzvah, like at a bris or like at a wedding, so he says that in that case, it doesn't exempt the other drinks. Because you're clearly not using it for a suda. Now he says Ayin Magen Avram Sof Sif Katan Yod Aleph, because the Magen Avram says, well, hold on a second. When you use wine for Kiddush, it does work. So I saw some Achronim want to say that no, there's a difference between Kiddush and Bris Milah / a wedding. When you're making Kiddush, that's like the framework for the meal, right? Kiddush Makom Suda. Okay, so it could easily be mechalak between those. Fine. So Ad Kan, we've had the lamdos of Bori Priya Gofen. We have that Hamotzi doesn't cover Bori Priya Gofen. And we have this whole machlokas about when Bori Priya Gofen covers other drinks. We said you have to, first of all, the first precondition is you need to partake of the wine or the grape juice. And the second is we have a wide range of opinions about, do you need all the drinks in front of you? Is it enough to have das? And we went through all of the different applications of how that would play out. So now two other just very small issues on this topic. So we've assumed so far that grape juice would have the same status of wine. Is that so pasha? So take a look at source number 17, Sefer Shvus Yitzchak. He quotes from Rav Al-Yashiv, who wanted to say that no, grape juice would not have the same status as wine. Why would grape juice not have the same status as wine? Well, if what makes wine, right, so if what makes, so Rabbi Donah says grape juice is not misameach the same way that wine is. And if what makes wine really special is like what the Gemara says, that wine is misameach, so then hold on, grape juice doesn't have that same status. Now, you could argue otherwise. You could say, well, what's the bracha that we make on grape juice? The bracha is Bori Priya Gofen, right? So if we use the bracha of Bori Priya Gofen, if this is more of a din in the bracha, then it shouldn't make a difference between grape juice and wine. If it's more of a din in the uniqueness of the product, then maybe you would limit it to wine. Rav Shlomo Zalman in source number 16 was of the opinion that we treat grape juice just like wine. It's actually it's a great Meir Makom just to have in our back pockets, because in the footnote over there, he says that virtually for every halacha, he's comfortable saying that grape juice is really considered like wine. He even says it legabi simchas yontif, which is a big chiddush, because simchas yontif, you would think, is a din in simcha, right? So he even says legabi simchas yontif that grape juice would suffice.
That's Purim on that, or
I think Purim, there's no.
He says not.
he says not. Okay, right. Right. Yeah, because that's pashut, right? Because by Purim the din is not. It's not actually a din of. It's mishta v'simcha, right? Not simcha mishta. That's the difference
in the pesukim. On the wine that's red wine versus white wine.
No. As long as it's wine, right? So according to Abshalom Zalman, grape juice would suffice, and it seems to me like that's the minog. But again, okay. Now, last part over here in the last source number 22. So the Bir Halacha talks about how much wine do you actually have to have? Is it any amount? Is there a minimum amount that you have to have? So he says, Bir Halacha, he says like this. He says you should at least have to have a melo lugmav, a cheekful. Because that is a shir chashuv de miyasva daite. That is like a significant amount that pleases a person. To have less than a melo lugmav, that's like a nothing. So there's no chashivas to the wine in that case. He quotes an opinion that is okay with less than a melo lugmav, but the Bir Halacha, he is inclined to say that you would need at least a melo lugmav. I think that's how we would pass an halacha l'maisa also. So, and by Kiddush anyway, you're going to want to have a melo lugmav. So,
wedding, you don't.
Right, so that's another tzadla, you know, that it wouldn't cover other drinks. We already had Rabbi Kiva Eger that it's not going to cover. And also, if you have less than a melo lugmav, it's not going to cover. If you have less than a melo lugmav, so you can't, again, like what the Bir Halacha is saying, you can't look at the wine in that case as something that's so significant. And then that derails either svara. Like, either there's no significance to the wine, you can't treat less than a melo lugmav as like the meal drink. Or you can't treat less than a melo lugmav of wine as something significant. It's like, you know, this recalls for us the debate between the Magen Avraham and others about what if you have less than a kezias of bread, is that motzi other foods? So that was a big debate, and we discussed that at the time. This is a parallel issue when it comes to wine. Halacha l'maisa, we're going to say at least a melo lugmav. So that's Ad Kan for tonight in terms of Bori Pri Al Gofen. Hopefully, we have a better understanding of why it is that Bori Pri Al Gofen is a unique bracha. And the role that wine plays in terms of the meal, and how that connects to all of these different applications in terms of what types of, when it's going to be exempt to other drinks, whether grape juice counts as wine, how much wine you have to have, etc. Always a pleasure. Go ahead.